The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the August 2023 issue of Scout Life. The horned lizard, not a frog, toad, or cactus. Down the bottom of page 14, bats and birds are their specialties, but wildlife biologist Selena Burgett Kaiser and Mark Kaiser love all species of critters. Both have worked for the state of Florida and previously voted for Bat Conservation International on such programs as the Great Florida Birding and Wildlife Trail and the North American Bat House Research Project. What's that strange-looking creature? A little armored tank? A walking cactus? No, it's a horned lizard, one of the most unusual reptiles in the United States. Not frogs or toads. Horned lizards get their name from the horns on their heads and spikes along their bodies, which give them a tough, intimidating appearance. While they are called horned toads or horned frog because of their shape and size, they are lizards, not amphibians. Their flat, wide bodies are unlike those of other lizards, which typically are long, narrow, and built for speed. There are 17 species of horned lizards, ranging from southern Canada to Mexico. 9 are in the United States, all west of the Mississippi River, although a few small isolated populations have been introduced in the southeast. They generally live in hot, dry habitats like deserts and plains, but some are also in open woodlands. What's on the menu? Ants. Horned lizards are active mostly during the day, but they are ambush predators, and their camouflage helps them blend in among rocks, sand, and other background elements. So they sit motionless and wait for their prey to walk by, and then capture them with their sticky tongues. They eat mostly ants, with some species eating 100 or more per day, since ants don't provide a lot of calories. Horned lizards have large stomachs to accommodate eating so much, resulting in their wide body shape. Harvester ants are favorite prey for many horned lizards, but they must be captured carefully. The lizards aim their tongues for the ants' midsection so they aren't stung or bitten. Spiders, pill bugs, beetles, grasshoppers, and other arthropods are also on the menu. And here on page 15 at the top, round-tailed horned lizard, and at the bottom of page 15, bottom right, Texas horned lizard. And in the middle of the page, great short horned lizard. Secret defense weapon. Horned lizards are not very fast, so they rely on their excellent camouflage and staying still to avoid detection. They also can flatten themselves against the ground, so flat that they barely cast a shadow. Their horns and spikes provide some protection from predators such as snakes, roadrunners, coyotes, ravens, and hawks. Horned lizards can also puff themselves up with an air to make themselves look bigger and more menacing, which also makes them harder to swallow if caught. When in danger, 8 species of horned lizards also have another trick. They can squirt blood from the corner of their eyes as a last defense. Whoa! This bizarre technique is mainly used against mammals such as dogs, foxes, and coyotes. They can accurately aim from several feet away at a predator's eyes or mouth. Formic acid in the horned lizard's blood from eating all those ants apparently tastes really bad to these predators, who will give up the chase. More life hacks. When it rains, horned lizards have another ingenious life hack. They can collect water on their skin by arching their tail over their head. Scales on their tail help channel water down toward their mouth. A handy desert survival trick. Like other reptiles, they can easily overheat on hot days and will move into shade, hide in animal dens, or burrow under sand to keep cool. They hibernate underground when temperatures drop in winter. These lizards are also unusual in how they reproduce. Horned lizards live in the warmest areas, lay eggs which they bury underground to incubate, and hatch on their own. Those in cooler locations and higher elevations incubate eggs internally, and the babies are born looking like miniature adults. Horned lizards may have 3 to 45 young at a time, depending on the species. Their offspring, which receive no parental care, have fairly low survivorship due to high predator levels. The lifespan of horned lizards is thought to be 5 to 7 years, although legend once held they could live to be 100. Be a citizen scientist. Many horned lizard populations are declining, so they are protected by law in some states. Major threats include loss of habitat due to development in agriculture, as well as pesticide used in introduction of exotic species. Non-native fire ants have reduced the number of harvester ants in some areas, which takes away from the lizard food supply. Fire ants can also kill hatchlings. The pet trade has removed many horned lizards from the wild as well. They don't survive well in captivity. Do you really want to feed a lizard 100 or more live stinging ants a day? And therefore don't make good pets. So please leave them where you find them. If you would like to help a citizen scientist, the Horned Lizard Conservation Society wants anyone who encounters these lizards to upload photos, plus date, time, and GPS coordinates to inaturalist.com. This helps scientists better track their whereabouts and population trends. Here at the top of page 16, Texas Horned Lizard, interesting looking creature. And at the bottom of page 16 to the left, a Saguaro National Park in Arizona, a regal horned lizard eats an ant. See it under the tongue? Oh, yeah. And then bottom right, the pygmy shorthorned lizard will bury itself in the sand in winter and freeze like an ice cube for months at a time. Then it will thaw out when spring arrives. Fast facts. The scientific name for horned lizards, Phrynosoma, means toad-bodied. Like toads, horned lizards don't move very fast. Horned lizards were revered by some Native American tribes who used images of them in their artwork. The greater short-horned lizard is the only species that can be found in three countries. It lives in a variety of habitats from 2,000 to 10,000 feet in elevation and is the state reptile of Wyoming. The horns of the regal horned lizard are quite long and resemble a crown. The Texas horned lizard is the easternmost species and the official state reptile of the Lone Star State. They have disappeared from Louisiana and much of East Texas and possibly from Arkansas and Missouri. The round-tailed horned lizard, like its name hints, has a centrical tail with colored bands. Horned lizards come in a wide range of sizes. Not counting tall lengths, the smallest species is the pygmy short horned lizard, 2.5 inches, and the largest is the giant horned lizard, 5 inches. Females are generally bigger than the males. Because of the brave. Discover where our military helped make this country. There are nice military pictures here on page 18. Nestled in his sleeping bag, C.G. Agnew tried to doze off, but he couldn't. He was lying on history. I remember looking up at the stars and the masts and realizing I'm sleeping on the deck of the USS Constitution. The 16-year-old Life Scout says, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine all the feet that walked across that deck. CJ and Troop 105 of Pembroke, Massachusetts, toured and slept aboard the nearly 230-year-old ship, which served in multiple conflicts, including the War of 1812. The outing helped the scouts understand what life was like for a sailor back then. Step back in time. There are hundreds of military museums, memorials, and historical sites across the United States. Last August, Troop 105 wanted to check out one of them. The USS Constitution, stationed in Charleston, Mass., It hosts tours during which scouts can sleep on the deck under the stars. It was built with iron sides. I think that was unique and led to many victories. Said Ben Meehan, 12, a tenderfoot scout, the ship nicknamed Old Ironsides was in 33 battles and never lost. The educational tour also included practicing military drills from that era, like pretending to load one of the cannons. It took them 11 seconds to fully reload a cannon. Our closest was 22 seconds, says Life Scout Adam Cushing, 16. Not every site lets groups stay overnight. Last January, Troop 457 of Rockville, Maryland, spent the night at another troop's cabin and then traveled to Valley Forge National Historic Park in Pennsylvania for the day. Valley Forge was where the Continental Army, led by General George Washington, recovered for 6 months during the Revolutionary War. With 12,000 soldiers, it was technically the fourth largest city in the colonies at that time, says Star Scout Max Groon, 16. On that chilly day, the troop hiked 7 miles around the park, exploring some reconstructed cabins and Washington's headquarters. It was big enough to house a couple of people, says Eli Groton, 12, a tenderfoot scout. They didn't change anything. They preserved it. The scouts read plaques studying what happened at the 3,500-acre encampment from 1777 to 1778. One interesting fact was Washington's order to have soldiers inoculated against smallpox, a disease that accounted for many of the Army's deaths during the war. I love history, says Austin Gallagher, 14, a first-class scout. We learned a lot. Today's forces. There are hundreds of military bases across the United States, including those for the Space Force. The new branch protects our country by launching and operating satellites to gather intelligence and track threats in space. One site where rockets are launched is Vandenberg Space Force Base in Santa Barbara County, California. Troop 489 of Arroyo Grande, California, got permission to go on base to see a 232-foot-tall Delta IV heavy rocket tour and Atlas V booster. Both of those take off from Vandenberg, says Tenderfoot Scott Benjamin, Erico, age 12. They'll put satellites up for weather and other important missions. After the tour, the troop stopped by nearby Honda Point, where 7 United States warships accidentally ran aground in 1923, resulting in 23 deaths. The somber visit reminded the scouts of the price the military paid for them to live free. As Benjamin says, it was a time to be respectful and reverent for the people that died for our country. At the top of page 19, Troop 457 at Valley Forge National Historic Park in Pennsylvania. Opposite page, Adam Cushing with Troop 105 raised the troop flag aboard the United States Constitution. Below left, Max Hanna and Ben Meehan fold the American flag with the help of United States Navy Airman Dejan Okafor. The military branches. The United States Armed Forces are made up of 6 branches, each with unique duties. The Air Force, first established in 1947. The Army, established in 1775. The Coast Guard, established in 1790. Marine Corps, 1775. Navy, established 1775. And the Space Force, established in 2019. Scouts with Troop 489 stand by Delta IV heavy rocket at Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. Page 20. Scouting around. More than a game. Playing games is fun, but certain games can help you become a better team player, learn more about your fellow scouts in your den or patrol, or spark ideas for future adventures. For example, everyone can face each other in a circle and toss around a ball. Add to the challenge that after catching the ball, you must share something about yourself with the group, like your favorite meal. This could generate ideas for meals at the next campout. These games can be fast-paced, too. In high-low, everyone organizes by patrol. The senior patrol leader tells patrol members to arrange themselves in a certain order. For example, by height, number of pets, or number of merit badges earned. The patrol that organizes itself the fastest and shouts its patrol yell wins. Or play a variation on which everyone must communicate only through sign language or gestures to figure out how to assemble. Some team-building activities can enhance scouting or outdoor skills. Have a tent pinching or knot-tying relay race. Work together and cheer each other on. If someone struggles with a skill that costs the team, don't get upset. It's only a game. Be helpful and kind, and look at it as an opportunity to help a fellow scout learn to become more confident in their skills. Field facts. Be a good steward. Conservation has been one of the goals of scouting since its beginning. Appreciating and taking care of our natural world benefits us now and preserves ecosystems and resources for future generations. You don't have to venture deep into the background to make an appearance or to make a difference. Help your local environment by picking up litter, removing invasive species, and maintaining campsites and trails. Check with your local government or land management office to see how you and your unit can safely and responsibly volunteer. One way is through an adopt-a-site partnership. Many states and cities offer this program, which allows volunteers to take care of a section of highway, street, or local park, keeping the area clean of trash. Before you tackle any conservation project, consider the following. What is the goal? What steps will be required for completing it? Is the work safe? Does the group have the necessary skills? If not, how can you get more information or training? What tools and materials will be required? What special clothing or gear is needed? Is the leadership adequate? You can earn several different conservation-related BSA awards. Check go.scoutlife.org/conservation for a list. Next, we have page 21, Arrowmen. Enjoy fellowship fun at NOAC. This is under Scout Events. Last year, more than 6,000 Arrowmen met at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville campus for the National Order of the Arrow Conference, NOAC. The Order of the Arrow is the BSA's honor society, and every couple of years since 1948, OA members have met at a major university campus for fun and fellowship. At the last NOAC, scouts enjoyed games, shows, and a festival. Some of the activities included a flag football tournament, archery, BMX biking, and, of course, patch trading. The Arrowmen also checked out the Goodman Edson Observatory, an on-site OA museum full of patches, uniforms, and displays. They also took part in training classes on induction ceremonies, conservation projects, and team building. Registration opens soon for the next NOAC, which will be held at the University of Colorado Boulder from July 29th to August 3rd, 2024. Contact your lodge leadership if you're interested in going. To become a member of the Order of the Arrow, you must be a registered Scouts BSA member, Venture, or Sea Scout. You need to meet certain camping and rank requirements, and you also must be elected by your fellow scouts in your unit. Everyday applications. When you're studying certain subjects in school, you might think, when am I ever going to use this in real life? Maybe that subject is math. If you want to go into a profession that requires a mastery of mathematics, like architecture, engineering, or business, you'll obviously see the real-world applications. But everyone needs an understanding of math, even if you don't seek a math-intensive career. Math is used to manage your personal budget, plan a trip, shop for the best deals, remodel a room, and even become a better sports player. It can also help during your next campout. For example, you need to understand fractions when following a cooking recipe. You need a grasp of geometry and measuring distance when setting up camp or hanging a bear bag. You can inspire your friends to see the benefits of math. One fun way is to play a game, like dominoes, Monopoly, or Yahtzee that used arithmetic and probability. Consider planning an outing to an architecture firm, insurance agent's office, or local college, and speak with an expert who can share how they use math. See online versions of program features for troops, teams, and crews at go.scoutlife.org/program features. Scouts whose troops choose the suggested program theme for August can learn more in the architecture, engineering, entrepreneurship, personal management, and robotics merit badge pamphlets. Here at the top of page 21, top right, architecture is just one field of work that requires extensive knowledge of mathematics. We have bird study. Some ideas for your next merit badge adventure. Birding is a fun, easy way to learn about some of the most fascinating animals on Earth. You don't need much stuff, and no matter where you live, you don't have to go far. Number one, get some binoculars. Find a balance between what you want and what you can afford. You don't have to buy the most expensive binocs. Sometimes you can find a perfectly good pair at a neighborhood garage sale. Look for binoculars with 7x magnification or greater. However, it is possible to have binocs that are too powerful. If you're watching songbirds, you'll probably be able to get as close as 15 feet. But the most powerful binoculars can't focus on all an object that close. Number two, get a field guide. There are a ton of field guides available, and you might be able to find a cheap one at a used bookstore. A good field guide will allow you to identify any birds you see. Look for a guide that covers the entire country and try to find one that illustrates all birds, not just the common ones. Many birders prefer guides with drawings instead of photographs because artists can enhance colors and characteristics when needed to make bird identification much easier. There are also many apps dedicated to birding, including Audubon Bird Guide, Merit Bird ID by Cornell Lab, and eBird. Number three, get a field notebook. Most birders like notebooks that are small enough to fit in a shirt pocket. Keep notes about the birds you see, including their location, behavior, color pattern, and sounds. When you spot a bird that you don't immediately recognize, it might be easier to write down a description of the bird first so you can consult your field guide after the bird flies away. Number four, get a pencil. Carry several sharp pencils and erasers with you whenever you go birding. There's nothing worse than breaking your only pencil when you're trying to sketch a unique bird. Mammal study. Observe a mammal in the wild. Number one, respect wildlife. Quick movements and loud noises are stressful to animals. Observe wildlife from afar to avoid disturbing them. Give animals a wide berth, especially during breeding, nesting, and birthing seasons. 2. Concealment. Find a spot near an area frequented by mammals and wait. A tent, hollow tree, or cave can conceal you. go.scoutlife.org/merit badge. Reptile and amphibian study. Number 1. Any large glass or plastic container with a wire screen lid can make good temporary living quarters. Number 2. Use small pebbles for flooring. Avoid sand and dirt. They're messy and can lead to infections. 3. Give the animals some shelter. A piece of bark works for smaller animals. You can stack stones to create a hiding place for larger animals. Number 4. Provide fresh food, live insects, for example, and water. Don't use tap water. Chlorine can kill amphibians. Use a dechlorination tablet or let water sit out for 24 hours so the chlorine evaporates. Number 5. Know what temperature the animal likes. You might need to avoid direct sunlight, or you might want to put it right under the air conditioning vent. And number 6, let the animal go. After a few weeks, return the animal back to the wild where you found it. How about a comic? Lion Pride, remote learning. A new school year. What new things will we learn? Well, I will work hard and do my best. I love being here at school. Don't you love being here, Rex? How to sew. Rex is not going anywhere. Tiger's Adventures. Ah! Ready? Yep. 1, 2, 3. Now you. 1, 2, 3. Woohoo! One more time. 1, 2, 3. Aha! Woo! What's going on? Oh, we're trying out our roller coaster screams for the fair tomorrow. Wolfgang, something fishy. I wish Otto and Easton would hurry back to camp with lunch. I'm starved. We kind of caught a fish. Here they come. How did... Don't... What? Oh, the bear bunch. They got a ball here. Can you toss it back? Here you go. Whee! Hey, thanks a lot. The books sure are big this summer. We'll be loyal scouts. Awesome day for disc golf, guys. I think the last hole is way over there, that big hill. Whoa, that's far. Let's see if we can all do it. Everyone, throw as hard as you can. Going, going. So, where'd they go? Major, several UFOs approaching our space. It's a code red. What? Oops. Actually, just those weeblos again. I'll be glad when school starts. Oh, boy. And finally, for Comic Arrowheads, hey, Jaden, you know how I plan to be World Scouting Champion? That's still not a thing. At the awards ceremony, should I thank my mom or my dad first? Thank your den leaders first. Why? It will make for a less awkward ride. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.